We're turning to Romans chapter 5 for our next scripture reading. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, until death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Amen. We conclude our reading there at the end of verse number 12. Let's turn our hearts towards the Lord once again in prayer. Please pray with me that the Lord will speak even this evening to our hearts. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee and we praise thee for the privilege of meeting around thy precious and thy holy word. We thank thee, O Lord, for the liberty that we have to proclaim the gospel at this time. And we pray, Lord, that thy protection will ever be upon that liberty. We do ask thee, Lord, that that word will find a resting place in the hearts of men and women, boys and girls. Thrill the hearts of believers tonight. Cause the unsaved to realize that they are in need of a Savior and to respond with faith and repentance in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that thou art able to go to homes across this nation, indeed across this world. Thou art not restricted and thou art able to save to the uttermost those that come unto thee through Christ. We pray, O Lord, that this will be the case tonight. O Lord, guide my words, I pray. May they be words in season, and may they be words that honour and magnify and uplift the Saviour. O Lord, we pray tonight men and women will realise that there's a God with whom they have to do. Men and women, boys and girls will realise that this is time to think about God. This is time to get right with God. This is time to realise that a life of sin will lead to an eternity in hell. And we pray, O Lord, that people will be sobered up, Lord, in this old world tonight. And be caused to think seriously and soberly about the things of life and death, time and eternity. O Lord, even those that perhaps have started watch with no intention, Lord, of listening to the word or taking heed, Lord, grip their attention tonight. And we pray, O Lord, that they will hear the voice of the Lord saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. Pray, Lord, tonight you'll empty me of self and sin. Fill me with thy spirit. Lord, I'm nothing but a vessel. But I pray, Lord, you'll take me up and use me tonight for thy glory. Hide me behind the cross. May thy voice be heard above mine. O Lord, save, we pray. Honour thy word. For it's in Jesus' name we ask these things. And for his eternal glory. Amen. Amen. In Mark's Gospel, the very first message that the Lord Jesus Christ preached in his ministry was this: repent ye and believe the gospel. Repent ye and believe the gospel. We could summarize that in those familiar terms, repentance and faith. Turn and trust. You see, there always has been only one message from God to man. Whenever God speaks to sinful man, God speaks to him that he might repent or to turn away from his sin and that he might believe in the gospel, in the Lord Jesus Christ coming into this world as a substitute for sinners, dying on the cross in their room and in their stead, taking the place of the sinner, bearing the wrath of God for the guilty, and shedding his blood as an atonement for our soul. You see, there only is one true gospel. There's only one way to heaven. There's only one way to be right with God. There is only one true place in which to put your faith, and that is in the finished work of the Saviour. Now, we are living in a world tonight of many different religions. But sadly today, in so-called Christendom, there are many different messages that are going out from pulpits across our land. People being told that if you try your best, God will love you and receive you and accept you. Friend, that's not in the Bible. People being told if you're baptized or christened or confirmed, you'll get into heaven. That's not in the Bible. People being told by their ministers, as long as you attend church, as long as you give financially into your church, then everything will be okay between you and God. Friend, that's not in the Bible. The Word of God talks about being saved, about being transformed by God, about being a new creature in Christ Jesus. This is the true gospel. You know, there's a gospel going about where people will say, well, you know, you just need the Lord to make your life better. No, no, no. You need the Lord to completely transform your life. Because by your birth, there is no way you will be able to get into heaven, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Sadly today, there are many in our society, and they treat the Lord and the things of God as a commodity. They forget that God is their creator. They forget that God is their sustainer. God is the only one who can save them. God is the one who will judge them. And when emergency comes or trial comes or sickness comes into a home, then they run, oh, pray to the Lord for us. But they don't want to know the Lord at any other time. When they're getting married, well, we want to get married in a church because it's the right thing to do. And they want, as it were, God's blessing upon that. But they don't want God in their marriage. When it comes to the funeral, oh, we want that funeral service in a church. But the person had no time for the Lord or the things of God. Friend, the Lord is not just for special events. He is your everything, or he's nothing at all. Everything to me, or nothing at all. We're living in a world where sin is mentioned, then the preacher is told to be quiet. To go away. We don't want to hear that. That's offensive to us. But friend, you will find in the Word of God that the Lord Jesus Christ taught and preached about sin. The prophets, the apostles. Because man, first of all, needs to know that he is a sinner before he understands that he needs to be saved. And therefore tonight I want to speak about a little word. It's found in Romans chapter 5 and verse number 10. And it's the word reconciled. And I want to emphasize to you tonight that man's greatest need is not to fit God somewhere into his life, but rather man's greatest need is to be reconciled to God. This is a lovely word. This is a scriptural word. This is a word that brings great comfort to my soul. Because the gospel reconciles a sinful man like me to a holy God. And in that reconciliation, I am made acceptable before God. And I am welcomed into the presence of God. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. There is a place reserved in heaven for me. And praise God, I've been reconciled to God. And tonight I want to preach on that theme of reconciliation. And I trust you'll listen tonight. And I trust and pray that if you are still in your sin, separated from God, that tonight you will be reconciled to God. Now, what does the word reconcile mean? It means to change thoroughly. from one position to another. It means to exchange, the way coins are exchanged, and you give your pounds into the transfer and you get your dollars. It's completely different. It's a change. It's a complete transfer. And it means to be changed thoroughly from one position to another. And every man and woman and boy and girl in this world needs to be changed thoroughly. Because before the Lord, they're a sinner, lost, guilty and condemned. And they need to be changed to one who is saved by the grace of God. Let's think firstly of the necessity of reconciliation. Man by nature is separated from God. In the book of Genesis chapter 2, the Lord spoke to Adam and Eve and told them that they were able to eat of any tree in the Garden of Eden, bar one tree, tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And you know, that was the instruction, and the Lord told them that if they ate of that particular tree, the fruit of that tree, that they would surely die. The word die there means be destroyed. Now, you'll get the skeptic and the critic saying, well, hold on, that's not true, because sure, remember, they ate of the fruit, and they didn't die. Sure, they lived on. Sure, they had children. Sure, we read about it in the Word of God. The death that is spoken of there was not physical death, although physical death is a result of sin. But it rather was spiritual death. They once had fellowship with God. They once enjoyed fellowship with God, but they died spiritually. Man became a sinner. Once they walked with God, but now God comes into the garden. Where are they? They're hiding. They once talked with God and openly conversed with the Lord. Where are they whenever God comes into the garden after they've eaten of the forbidden fruit? They're lying and they're shame. Lying. Where are they? Before they ate of that forbidden fruit, they were living in peace. A place of peace and beauty and perfection. Ah, but then sin came in and caused them to live in fear. They were living in the place of paradise. And they were thrown out. Ah, you see, they became sinners because they disobeyed God. And you see the little children that God gave to them, Cain, Abel, Seth, and the many others that God gave unto them. Every single person born into this world has been born as a sinner. What is it tonight that prevents us from knowing the blessing of purity? What is it that prevents us from talking to God as friend with friend? What is it that prevents us from having a peace within our heart for time and eternity rather than a fear? It is our sinful nature. And because we're born in sin and we're guilty in our sin, that means we are at enmity with God. Look at verse number 10 of the chapter that I read. For if when we were enemies, we were enemies. And that is the standing of any man or woman, boy or girl, who tonight cannot say, I have been saved by the grace of God. I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. We are enemies of God. Now that means to be opposed to. That means to have a hatred of. It means to be against all that their opponent is against. That word enemy, it comes from a root word in the Greek which means to hate. And the reality is that the sinner is a hater. You might think of yourself as a pretty good person, but the reality is the sinner is a hater. In fact, whenever the Lord is describing the ungodly and those without Christ, he speaks of them in Romans chapter 1, verse number 30, as haters of God. Haters of God. They hate God's claims on their life. They refuse God's claims on their life. They refuse to obey his standards. They refuse to obey his commands. We have seen over recent days and months and years the hatred of man against God when man does something wrong. And whenever someone says, that's simple, that's wrong, the anger of man. How dare you tell me? How dare God tell me? Haters of God. First Thessalonians, it speaks there of chapter 2, verse 14 to 16. It says, for ye brethren became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Jesus Christ. For ye have also suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as ye have of the Jews who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets and have persecuted us, and they please not God and are contrary to men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles, that they might be saved, to fill up their sins always, for the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. And here we not only see haters of God, but haters of the gospel. Haters of the gospel, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved. And even in Bible times, there were those who sought to hinder the preaching of the word of God. And there are some people today, and they do not like the gospel. They hate the gospel. You know why? Because it doesn't promote man. It doesn't glorify man. It doesn't tell man how great and wonderful he is. No, it glorifies God, and it tells man what he really is, and that's a sinner. It reveals man's helplessness in his sin. And people don't like that. You know, in this world tonight, I think we've begun to realize, as mankind, that we're not in control of very much at all. I'll do this and I'll do that. Friend, this virus has come sweeping over our globe. And men and women, young people are being asked to isolate, to stay away, to do nothing, to survive for a little while. Why? Because there's something that is a greater power than us. Friend, we don't like being told we're helpless. And that's exactly what the gospel does. That's what the word of God does. It tells us that in our sin, there's nothing we can do to rescue ourselves from hell. There's nothing that we can do to save our souls. There's nothing that we can do to be at peace with God. There's nothing that we can do in and of ourselves other than receive the work that God has done for us to reconcile us to him. You know, also in John's Gospel, chapter 3, we read not only are sinners haters of God and haters of the gospel, but they're haters of the light. Listen to these verses in verse number 19. And this is a condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. You see, the truth is this, that those who love their sin, those who by nature are sinners, and that's every single one of us, hate the light. We don't want it. We don't want the light because it exposes our sin. We'd rather live in the darkness. We would rather forget about the reality and live with some fanciful notion that we're okay. And it'll work out okay for us when the word of God says the reality is that light has come into this world. Light has come into this world. You know, whenever we look at our past, we see the guilt of a life of sin. When we consider our future, there's fear, because we know we're going to have to stand before God someday and give an account of the lives we lived in sin. When we look at our present, there's uncertainty. When we realize at this moment, God, thy God seest me, there's shame and uncertainty. And not only is man actively at enmity with God, but everything a sinner does offends God. Everything a sinner does offends God. And that's the great wickedness of sin. Someone once wrote these words, Adam did not at first grasp the horror of his fall, nor its implications, and neither do we. Until we realize the great gulf between ourselves and God and our offensiveness to him, we cannot properly seek him. Only a clear view of the extent of the fall and the sinfulness of the human heart prepares people for true repentance before God. Look what it says in Romans 5 and 9. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Friend, you need to be saved from the wrath of God. His righteous anger that is manifest in his judgment on sin. God is a God of love. And we preach that with all of our hearts and we sing it to the glory of his name. He's a God of love. He has provided a way for us to be saved from his wrath. Friend, if you're not saved, you're under the wrath of God. And someday your eyes will close in death. And if you die without him, then you'll know the wrath of God poured upon you in a Christless eternity in hell. You see, for us, there are great consequences for sin. Yes, there's guilt and there's shame and there's fear. But let's not forget that more than those things, God is offended. Man was created to worship the Lord, to obey the Lord, to honor the Lord, and falling in sin, he is in rebellion against God, and God is offended by your rebellion, your rejection, your self-righteousness, your trying to live without him, your wickedness, your lies, your fraud, your immorality. God is offended. Friend, one day you will stand before him, and that is why you need to be reconciled to God. God's standard is his law. And the transgression of the law, the word of God tells us, that is sin. We have broken the law of God. We're born sinful in nature. We're actively sinful by practice. We transgress the law of God, and that calls for God's wrath, God's judgment to be upon us. Friend, you might say to me, but I'm a member of a church. Friend, being a member of a church does not save you or turn away God's wrath from your sin. But I'm baptized. Being baptized does not save you or turn away God's wrath upon your sin. You say, but I'm a good person. I would do nobody any harm. Friend, you're sinful by nature. From the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. Every single part of us is infused with sin. And friend, we are offensive in the sight of God. But praise God, when we've looked at the necessity of reconciliation, we see the provision or the path of reconciliation. You see, it tells us there in verse number 10, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. By the death of his son. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 21-22, it says, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. And praise God, I have wonderful news for every sinner, no matter where you've been, no matter how far you've gone in sin, no matter how wicked or dark your life is tonight, I have wonderful, wonderful news for you. There is a Savior who died for sinners. The hymn writer put it this way, he died that we might be forgiven. He died to make us good, that we might go at last to heaven, saved by his precious blood. And you will find that in Scripture, again and again and again and again, the blood is emphasized. There is no call in Scripture to make some commitment to the Lord. There's a call to come for cleansing in the precious blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. Without the blood of Jesus Christ, there is no hope of you being right with God, having peace of God within your heart, or getting into heaven. Friend, you have to be saved by being washed in the blood of the Lamb. trusting in the work that Christ has done on the cross of Calvary. Anything else is a false gospel. Anything else will fail. But praise God, his work cannot fail. And the work of the cross and reconciliation by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ was instituted by God, executed by God, is applied by God. And if you look there, Romans chapter 5, and verse number 8, we read these words. Romans 5, and verse number 8. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Friend, the Lord Jesus Christ did not die on the cross because we deserved it. He did not die because we were worthy. There's not one that's ever been born that's been worthy for the Lord coming to this earth to die on the cross for their sin. But the Word of God tells us this. He did it because he loved us. He loved us. There's never love like this known. The world takes that word love and abuses it and makes it immoral and makes a mockery of it in many ways. But friend, greater love hath no man than this. God commendeth his love toward us. Praise God for the love that brought him all the way to Calvary to die in our place and in our guilty room instead. We are without merit, without potential, or without hope. When we were unlovable, he loved us. When we were sinners, he died for us. You know, the Word of God tells us in verse number 9, much more then, being now justified by his blood. Whenever a sinner comes and turning from their sin and from everything that's against God and says, Lord Jesus Christ, come into my heart. Be my Savior. Lord, come into my life and save me. Take away my sin. Forgive me, O Lord. Thank you for the work on the cross. Thank you for the blood that was shed. Then the Word of God tells us that we are justified. And the Father looks upon us as we stand tonight justified, as if we'd never sinned. As if we never sinned. Friend, I don't need to tell you about your heart tonight. I know all about mine. But friend, I will put my hand upon my heart tonight and say to you, at no point in my life could I ever say this, I have been without sin. But the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Scripture tells us in Acts 3, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. And praise the Lord, every sin removed as the east is from the west, without measure, there will never be brought before us again, thrown into the sea of God's forgetfulness, blotted out. Hallelujah. That's the gospel tonight. Friend, the gospel is that the Lord completely transforms you. Your record is made clean before him, and your life is changed by him. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things passed away. Behold, all things become new. And there will be evidences of God's work and salvation in your life. We all know of people and they said, well, I'm a Christian, but there's never been any evidence of any change. No love for the Lord, no love for the Word, no love for the people of God, no holiness, no trying to live unto the Lord. And friend, if that is all you have, a profession, you have nothing at all, you need a possession tonight. You need to know the Lord as your own and personal Savior. And I urge you tonight, before you even go to bed tonight, before you do anything, after this meeting is over, if you do not know the Lord, you get on your knees and you cry unto the Lord. You pray that the Lord will come and save your soul. You turn from your sin and repentance tonight and pray that the Lord will deliver you and make you clean in his sight. Praise the Lord. That's the hope of the Christian. And remember, we're talking about being reconciled. And as the sinner stands tonight, the sinner is separated from God by a great gulf, and that sin has caused that gulf. But praise the Lord, when the blood of Jesus Christ is applied to a life, when a soul calls on the Lord for salvation, then God and man are reconciled the only way they can be, through the precious blood. The hymn writer said, if thou hast my discharge procured, and freely in my room endured the whole of wrath divine, payment God cannot twice demand, first at my bleeding surety's hand, and then again at mine. Turn then my soul unto thy rest. The merits of thy great high priest have brought thy liberty. Trust in his efficacious blood, nor fear thy banishment from God, since Jesus died for thee. One of the Bible commentators wrote these words: the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross broke down every barrier between God and sinners and achieved peace at infinite cost. To gain access to this condition, or condition of restoration to favor with God, sinners must receive by faith what God has already done in Christ. And that is good news indeed. There is no need to worry whether we've done enough to satisfy and appease God. All we have to do is to enjoy peace and to experience divine love is to get to the cross. God is always satisfied with his Son and those who come to him in and through his Son. It's a lovely hymn in our hymn book. Hallelujah, hallelujah, I'm depending on the blood. And dear listener tonight, dear viewer tonight, wherever you are in this world, I want to say to you, it's the only thing that you can depend upon in time and for eternity. God will accept nothing else. No good works, no religion, no rituals, nothing. It's through the blood. You know, sometimes gospel preachers are accused of many things. Sometimes going on and on and on and on about the blood. You know why? Because without the blood, there's no salvation. Friend, you need to be saved. You need a cleansing in the precious blood. You need to trust in the work that Christ has done on the cross of Calvary. And therefore, as God gives me help for the rest of my days, every message will get to the cross and will preach the blood as the only answer to man's sin. We've thought about the necessity of reconciliation. We've thought about the path of reconciliation. That's through the cross. Finally, the benefits of reconciliation, or the outcome. First of all, God is glorified. And friend, this is ultimately the chief end of salvation, the glory of God. His work is being completed. He seeth of the travail of a soul and he is satisfied. The one for whom Christ died there on a cross outside the city walls of Jerusalem almost 2,000 years ago, that one has now been found. And that one has now been won and saved and made an heir of the kingdom of God. The heart is transformed and the affections and desires that were once held by sin and self and iniquity are now newly desires for things he never desired before. I've been really encouraged, I have to say, messages I've been getting today and in recent days of people just simply saying, I miss the house of God. I miss the fellowship of the people of God. I miss joining together to sing and to worship. What put that desire in there? They were transformed by the grace of God. Thank God for those believers once mocked the things of God, but now have been transformed and love them. Once no interest in the house of God or the place of prayer, but now can't wait to get there. God is glorified. But not only that, we are blessed. You know why? Because we have peace with God. I read in Colossians chapter 1 these words, "You were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight." Friend, there is peace with God. Reconciled to God, we have peace with God. And that word peace actually comes from a word which means to join together. And join with God through Christ, we have peace with God. And thankfully, we can know the peace of God. Because the word of God tells us that when we pray unto him, bring our fears and our worries and concerns, he promised us the peace of God that passeth all understanding. We have peace when we look at our past, our sinful past, our wicked record. That has been dealt with. We have peace when we look to the present. Yes, even today. You know why? Because God is in control. I don't understand and I don't have the answers. I don't know how long that I'll be able to stand here and broadcast, how many weeks it will be, months. I don't know if even it will be a possibility in the future to leave my home to be able to do this. But I know this. My Father has everything under control. Dear believer, fret not tonight. The Lord knows what he's doing. The Lord's in control of it all. And then we have a wonderful peace when we look at our future, because we'll stand holy, unblameable, unreprovable in the sight of God. Why? Because we've been wonderful people? No, no, no. Because the blood has cleansed us from our sin. And the merit of Christ, his righteousness, has been imputed to our account. You see, whenever you get saved, the rags of sin are removed. Those rags that are offensive to God, that separate you from God. A friend, you're given a new garment. It's a robe of the righteousness of Christ. In other words, when God looks upon his children, he sees them through Christ and in his merit. And not only that, we read in Romans chapter 5, much more then, verse 9, "Being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved." And that justification is a reality in our lives. We're God's now. And saved from the wrath. But look at verse number 11. "And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ." We joy. There's a joy that the world knows nothing of. And maybe you've lived your life up to this point and you thought, well, if I want true joy in my life, I have to have a particular relationship, or I have to be out in the pub, or I have to be using drugs, or I have to be doing this, or I have to be doing that, and these things will bring me joy. And you know within your heart that they don't satisfy, for you have to go back again and again and again and again. But friend, let me tell you something. Jesus satisfies. There's joy in Christ. You know, the happiest person in this earth tonight is the one who's saved by the grace of God and living in obedience to the will of God. The greatest need that you have tonight is that your sin must be dealt with, that you might be reconciled to God. Here's my question. Have you been reconciled to God? Have you been reconciled to God? Tonight, are you an enemy of God or a friend of God through the salvation in Jesus Christ? Have you been to the cross and by faith accepted his finished work as your only merit? Sinner, you need to be saved. The Old Testament and Book of Ezekiel says, turn ye, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? And I say to the sinner today, turn ye tonight, this very moment, for why will you die? Why will you go to hell? Why will you go on in your sin, but will you not come to Christ? Just as I am, without one plea. But that thy blood was shed for me, and Lord, you've bid me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. And he that cometh unto the Lord will in no wise cast out. I want to say something as I close tonight. Friend, if you live in sin, separated from the Lord, and you die in sin, separated from the Lord, then in eternity, you will be in a place of separation from the Lord forever and forever. No hope of salvation. No hope of being rescued from hell. You see, you have to come in time. There's no tomorrow in God's vocabulary when it comes to the work of salvation. It says, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. There's a little verse, and I just want to leave this with you, and with this we're closed. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse number 20. It's just the very last few words of this verse. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. And I pray in the Lord's name, dear sinner, tonight, that you will be reconciled to God. That's all that matters in life. That's all that matters in eternity. Nothing matters but salvation. In this world or that to come, nothing matters but salvation when the race of life is run. Friend, I urge you tonight, wherever you are, just go to your room, get down beside your bed. Cry unto the Lord. Call on the Lord to save you. I thank God tonight that through the work of Christ, you, God, reconciled. You're justified, saved, transformed. I beg you tonight, come to Christ. Don't go on in your sin. Don't go any longer without him. But come. Welcome to Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank thee and we praise thee tonight for a gospel that invites sinners to come to God. We realize that invitation is an invitation to come through Christ, to come through the finished work of the cross, through the blood that was shed. Lord, tonight there may be some dear man, woman, or young person listening to my voice, and tonight, Lord, you're speaking to them. And they know that they're not right with God, and they know they're separated from God, and they know if they died this moment in the seat in which they're sitting, they'd be found in hell for all eternity. And Lord, I beg thee tonight, and I plead with thee tonight, Lord. While I cannot see their faces, Lord, thou can see. And Lord, I pray tonight you'll work in their hearts and bring them unto thyself. May this be the greatest night in their life. Reconciled to God. Oh Lord, take what has been of man and let it perish and fall to the side. But Lord, what has been of thee in this meeting tonight, let it live on and prosper to the glory of thy name, to the extension of thy kingdom. Lord, we thank thee. We can say, those of us who are saved, we love thee because thou hast first loved us. Lord, we leave our land and our listeners in thy hands tonight. Bless us. Watch over us. Keep us safe. Lord, should we not meet again with those who are listening to my voice? I pray, O Lord, there'll be a great reunion in eternity. Grant it, O Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.